Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland Wealth. Thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is saying Quiescat in Parche, Robert Redford, the American actor who was summoned to the great big studio in the sky just today at the age of 9 and 80. So, Charles Robert Redford Jr., and obviously his stage name was Robert Redford. I didn't even know till today that his Christian name was, in fact, Charles. He was born in California, died in Utah. At his ranch, which he called Sundance, an allusion to the role that was his breakout one, which is in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It came out in the late 1980s. I've seen it years ago, perhaps twice. It's a fictive tale about two American, whatever, armed robbers, what do you call them, from the Wild West. And as the Wild West is closing in, right at the start of the 20th century, they go to Bolivia, okay, a South American country. What happens to them there with the late Paul Newman? He and Paul Newman had real matinee idol looks. And that was the problem about being good looking in acting, I'm told, is whether you're a man or a woman, people just pigeonhole you. Oh, an airhead. He can't act, she can't act. They do it all on looks, which is sometimes true and sometimes not. I mean, I know there's pretty privilege. Obviously, the person's easy on the eye. When you see any films, you think, wow, people are so attractive in this, and then in real life, you're like, they're not. You may have heard of that film, My Oxford Year, about this American postgraduate doing a year at Oxford, came out recently. And one of the many false things about it is everybody is delectable, which in the reality at Oxford University, obviously, they're not. And there's a spectrum of looks. And then the other stereotype about ivory towers is they're all hideous and have got bottle end glasses and bad teeth and terrible acne and greasy hair and whatever, and complete indifference to their physical appearance. And there is that sort of aspergic stereotypical person. Such people exist, but they're not many. But back to the topic to Mr. Redford. Well, I first became aware of him when I was very little, watching Out of Africa, that film set in colonial Kenya. Before, during, and after the First World War, when he plays Dennis Finch Hatton, who was in fact British. And I did a video about Finch Hatton Bridge at Eton, because he used to walk over almost daily on my way to games. If I was going to Agarsplough occasionally, Dutchman's Farm, I think it's more the Agars side, over a little stream there, a tributary of Old Father Thames. Famous in these fields and by his many friends, greatly beloved. So Redford played that character, but couldn't do the accent, tell the British accent. So they just made him American, didn't explain the backstory at all, gave him the name of a real person who was killed in an air crash in Kenya about 1930, and who was an outstanding sportsman, looked up some of his sports record. So anyway, he was an actor with range, could do all sorts of could do all the all emotions and profundity. But you know, I had sort of there was this nervous look. I can't quite do it like I can't think what other ones he would do, like do love scenes, fight scenes. He wasn't like weedy, but he wasn't macho either, so he wasn't trying to do the action hero roles. But not that cerebral an actor. I don't think he portrayed Shakespeare or something like that. So and seemed to have a good reputation in Hollywood when all this Me Too stuff came out. I know he was an old man by then, but people might have said, well, he did something 50 years ago, but no such tales came out about Redford. So he's born in California in 1936. And to dad who'd been from Texas, so he's of Irish, English, whatever, Ulster, if that's different from Irish descent. And some of his ancestors had lived in America since before the Revolution and so forth. So yeah, and they'd moved to Colorado later on. He came from sort of middle class family, and then he decided to pursue acting. Right, but he didn't get very far with his studies. Alcohol got him booted out. Remember, the drinking age was then 21, laxly enforced, but maybe it was actually quite bad. He traveled extensively in Western Europe. And then he was still trying to study art, studying at the American Academy of Drama in Manhattan in the late 1950s. Somehow avoided the draft. Only a minority of people were drafted in the US military at the time, being the height of the Cold War. But the precarity of existence must have been considerable. You know, it's very hand to mouth for jobbing actors. So going to castings all the time, small. It was a stage actor, small things on Broadway, and then the Untouchables, which was later made into a very popular film in the 1950s. I'm just thinking, is there anything else? The Twilight Zone. I remember Robin Williams referring to that in A Good Morning Vietnam. Okay. All right. And then finally getting on to a film, The Tall, Tall Story in 1960. But yeah, he really began to hit it big with Barefoot in the Park, which had been on television first of all. He was blonde, and yes, he was kind of somewhat blonde even into his old age. But he was sort of well-proportioned, tall but not too tall. Could have been a model, actually. I don't know if you ever tried that. And it was 1969, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. As I say, that's the thing that made him became a household name. The other point, it was a Western but set in South America. The thing is, the Western as a genre had had its day, and this is sort of a last hurrah for it, because from 1969 till say the 90s, I can't think of any Westerns that were made. And I wonder what's into the with the Cold War. This is how the West was won, making Americans more patriotic, and we can defeat the bad guys again. But the one thing is valorizing violent crime, and they come across as genial. And the very fact that you cast very handsome men in it makes them seem like morally good. You see how people have got these prejudices in favor of those who are physically attractive, and so on. Okay, so I'm just trying to think. He was on all sorts of other things. I remember watching, what was that one? That 1973 one, about some sort of scam. I forget what it's called. Then All the President's Men was the only one who was a little bit political, where he co-starred with Dustin Hoffman. It came out, it was about the Watergate scandal. It came out only 2 years after the Watergate scandal. And Seymour Hersh and Sidney Bernstein, and he's playing Seymour Hersh, I think. And the short guy Hoffman is playing Bernstein. Hoffman and Bernstein are both Jewish. That's why he's typecast. About exposing some members of the Republican Party breaking into the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. to try and steal secrets on the Democrats. And it came out that Nixon didn't authorize it, found out a related cover up, blah, 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 led to his resignation. So that, I've never seen that one, actually. So he could be in serious roles about things that were historical. They obviously don't want to talk through every single thing he was ever in. But yeah, there was Out of Africa, which I thought was magnificent, just a visual feast, and had the most fabulous music to it. Was that by John Barry, another Cork man indeed? They're born in York, the English Cork, as it were, where he played opera opposite Meryl Streep, and obviously she's paid tribute to him since his death. So yeah, it was marvelous, a touching tale, had characters who are well fleshed out, not too many characters. A plot that even I'm able to follow with my short attention span. It was magnificent. One of the criticisms is that black people only had to walk on parts, but it's showing sort of 1920s Kenya, white high society, where black people and white people didn't socialize. I know that's bad, but they were simply depicting the reality of the 1920s without saying that was a good thing, and it wasn't. And so it goes on. Then A River Runs Through It is one thing he really wanted to make. But what I'm not sure even appeared. I think it was a director, and he liked things like The Horse Whisperer. He said it's about the American West. I remember seeing him interviewed about that. That's what really mattered to him. Then he had a small role in Indecent Proposal about the guy who propositions, what's the actress's name, Demi Moore, $1 million to have sex with her, and she agrees, but it ruins her marriage and blah blah blah. Was it like that? The Horse Whisperer. I remember someone said when I was at school over the lunch table, oh, I thought it was about a horse guy who whispers. He said, well, that would actually have made a better film than this one. So he was very much into riding into the wilderness, the great open spaces. So that was him. He's happily married for many, many years, and he had four children, unfortunately, two of it which predeceased him. Not very into politics. He had some friends in the Republican Party, was on their side in the early 90s, and latterly he took the other side, was in favor of Joe Biden, got the Sundance Film Festival going in Utah. So he's not a Mormon. I mean, I don't think he was particularly religious at all, but he seemed to have good relations with the local community. So yeah, I've never met him. I suppose I would have liked to. So it seems that nobody had a bad word to say about him. Genuinely talented. I think not marvelous, but I wouldn't think he had any weak performances. Well, thanks for watching my channel. Please comment, make sure you subscribe, and donate PayPal. Subscribe on Patreon. Goodbye.